evening, Shalom. It's really a schus for me to be here this evening, and especially when I reflect upon the late Rav Wurzburger, who served so many years in the space at Knesset, and before they finally told him, your distinguished Rav, Rabbi Weinberger, who is in Fairlawn this evening. And it's truly an honor for me to be here. And on a more personal note, Simat Zonarye, the Shabbos he became a chassan, so we got in together. So this is a place at Knesset where me and my wife have very pleasant memories. So it's a pleasure to be back here. And to talk to you tonight about Vidui, which is something which we have to get into. And we've been getting into it by virtue of the slichos. Vidui means confession. And we have to understand that Yom Kippur contains with it not only the five restrictions of what you cannot do on Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur has with it a positive mitzvah of tshuva. Now, whether this positive mitzvah is a separate mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, as Rabbeinu Yonah learns, and interestingly, based upon the pasuk, ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem, letar eschem, kol chatoseichem, lifnei Hashem titoru, so one could learn that pasuk in one of two ways. Lifnei Hashem titoru means before God you are purified, in which case you are passive, and God is doing the purification process. Or no, the pasuk is saying a command. Lifnei Hashem titoru, you are to purify yourselves on this day of Yom Kippur. So whether, just take a sheet, it's probably better. So whether if there is a specific mitzvah of tshuva on Yom Kippur, as Rabbi Yonah says, but certainly as we shall see, everyone agrees that an integral part of the day of Yom Kippur is for the individual to do tshuva, to repent. And the truth of the matter is, we recite the vidui, the confession, the Yosham Nibagadnu, the Al-Khaitz, over the Yom Kippur experience 10 times, as we shall see. We had it, please God, this Wednesday afternoon before Yom Kippur, the mincha before Yom Kippur, which is unusual, because you cannot eat the matzah before Pesach. If anything, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And let's say, as we talk about it in Jersey, they predict R-A-I-N for the night of the Vakusha. Thank you. The night of the Yontif. Okay? So a person's going to say, no problem. My sukkah is up. My sukkah is decorated. I'm going to, you know, sit in the sukkah on... on Erev Sukkot in the afternoon, right? Wrong. Sitting in the sukkah on Erev Sukkot in the afternoon will avail you nothing. Unless it's Sukkot, you're not going to get the mitzvah whatsoever. And yet, this coming Wednesday afternoon, before it is Yom Kippur, we have Vidui number one, and as we shall see, we have twice on Please God for Ma'ariv, twice for Shacharis, twice for Musaf, twice for Mincha, that brought us to 9, and once for Ne'ila, which is 10. Whether it corresponds to the 10 times that the Kohen Gadol said Shem Hashem on Yom Kippur, the bottom line is that we recite Vidui, and we're given the opportunity, in fact, I remember when I had the schus of having the late Rabbi Kanatovsky speak in my shul in Fairlawn many, many years ago. And he suggested as a possibility that why do we say the vidui so many times? And one of the answers he gave at that time was, and I found it so interesting, because we are constantly in a state of flux. And even if, I said, we do it before, on Wednesday afternoon, got to say it again Wednesday night. I'm not the same person. And even Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. So I've prepared a source sheet that I can perhaps run with you and share with you an interesting machlokes from which we're going to, I trust, have a deeper and better appreciation as to what we are, what kind of vidui we are expressing on Yom Kippur. So, number one, which comes from the Gemara in Yuma in Zion, so the first several lines are a bonus that I've given you, and I'm going to show you that the Gemara there is expressing several forms of vidui that the various rabbis suggested, and Rabbi Nuna I put down because we have this in our machzor. This is part of our Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur, right before the last paragraph of the Lokai Nitzor, the Shomim Meira. We say, without giving the credit to Rabbi Nuna, but now you know where it comes from, Elokai Achlo Nitzarti Eni Kedai, until I was formed, until I was born, Eni Kedai. And Rav Kook explained it so beautifully, I wasn't supposed to be. Eni Kedai, I wasn't created or born until this time, whenever it is, and we've been saying this, as you can see now, for 1,800 years. But people always say, and I want you to know, I'm so grateful to all of you for coming, but I had a schluss tonight of meeting Rabbi Libby, who told me that he had a schluss of learning and remembering and being with the Chafetz Chaim. And I offered him to speak tonight because I would rather, with all due respect, hear him. I think the community should make sure that you can take, you know, his experiences. But the bottom line is, how often a person might say, if only I could have lived and been in Raden with the Chafetz Chaim. So the answer is, Arya, you're wrong. No, you weren't supposed to live at the time of the Chafetz Chaim. Achshlo Netzarti Eini Kedai. Achshav Shenotzarti. Now that I have been born into this present day situation, ouch. What we're saying on each of our vidui is, Kilo Notzarti. We're saying, look here, I'm supposed to make a contribution, but my contribution falls short. And we spell it out. I'm not much more than dust in my life. That's where I'm going to end up. I really have, and that's a very powerful thing for Yom Kippur, that we are to feel a little, not a little, but to feel embarrassed of ourselves, of our lack of sufficient accomplishments, positive, negative. We pray to Hashem, not to sin, and that which I have sinned, Morok Barachamecha, please wipe away with your mercy. Avaloi de Yisurim, but not please through punishment. Behind Ovidu de Rava Kulashata. This was Rava's Nusach of Vidui all year long. Udrat Nuna Zuta on Yom Kippur. Omar Zutra, Lo Amoron, when do we say that you have all these, and you take my word for it, take a look in the Gemara, all these other options as to what constitutes vidui? Elad lo'amar abo nachnu chatan. That's only if you didn't say the three magic words, but we have sinned. Abo lo'amar abo nachnu chatanu. If a person says, but we have sinned, su lo tzarif. You don't have to say anymore. That is vidui. Why? Because the Gemara tells us, the Omar Bar Himdudi, Bar Himdudi said, Habikoimno Kamede Shmuel. He literally was before Shmuel. He's telling what the Gadol Hador did. Habi Yosef, Shmuel was sitting down. The Chimot Ashlicha de Tzibura, and when the Chazan came, the Omar, Avol, Anachu, Chotanu, come, Mekam. He stood up. Omar, therefore, Bar Himdudi says, Shma Minah. From here we have a raya, the ikar vidui haihu, that the primary vidui is these three words, avol anachnu katana. Okay, good. So now we've identified what the ikar vidui is. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, per beis halacha zayin, Yom Kippurim uzman Tshuva. lakol. Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva, of repentance, lakol, for all. La yochid v'loragim. This is the shir. Those two words. La yochid, for each individual, for the rabbi, and for the community. Who caves, and it's the time of Mechilu Slichol Yisrael. Lefichav, chayon makol lasos tshuva. We all obligated to do tshuva, u'lisvados, and to confess b'yom ha-kippurim. U'mitzvah vidu yom ha-kippurim, and the mitzvah vidu yom kippur, sheyasil me'erev hayom, you begin this coming Wednesday, kodem sheyochal, before you eat your sefuda ha-masekes, before you eat the meal before the fast, shemo yechonek b'sefuda. Very, very interesting, lest the person, well, God forbid, have to spend the night in the emergency room. He's not going to have a chance to be in the Beis HaKnesses. And to what? To do vidui. So unlike what? For the night, for Erev Tochlu Matzos. And unlike Sukkah, which because Chamisha, so I can't sit in the Sukkah before it is actually Sukkahs. Here, many base it on the Pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titaru. Before you come to Hashem on what? On Yom Kippur, Lefnei Hashem, Titaru, you should already be in a state of what? Of Tara, of purification. And that is why the men, there's some men that go to the mikveh every day, and some men go every Erev Shabbos. But even those that don't go every Shabbos, and don't even go every Erev Achak, but Erev Yom Kippur, that's the time to go. Lefnei Hashem, before I come to the presence of God, Titaru, I want to do whatever purification I can. So therefore, what do? I have the vidui this Wednesday afternoon, as we pointed out, in Yom Mincha. The Apophish is Vada, Kodem Shiochal, Choser Misvada Balein Le Yom HaKippurim. You have it as well, whether this is Tzvila Zaka, but certainly it refers to Leila Yom HaKippurim Arvis, which is Mayriv, Chozer Umisvade B'Shacharis U'B'Musa U'B'Mincha U'B'Nivu. Good. V'Heicha Misvade. Where does a person do this vidui? Meaning that if I have to confess my sins, so is it something that each person can do it when it's convenient for you? That's when you'll do vidui. How is convenient? As long as I get it in. Right? Technically speaking, I have the whole day to shake the lulav. Those are things. Yeah, you're going to tell me it's reason my demon, do it in the morning. You're going to tell me do it with Musaf, excuse me, with the Halil, because we have the Nanuim. Yes, but technically speaking, if I shook my lulav, not in the morning, I shook it in the afternoon, I got the mitzvah. What are you telling me? I have to do tshuva, vidui, on Yom Kippur? Okay, I'm not a busybody. You'll do tshuva when it's good for you, and I'll do tshuva when it's good for me. Right? Wrong, says the Rambam. And where are you to do tshuva? Yochid achar tefillah. So the individual does it after his shmona esrei. But don't make a mistake. This doesn't mean after you've taken your three steps back. It means after you finish your last bracha, bracha to Hashem, and whether you say oseh shalom, when you say Mavaret, someone you serve by Shalom, different minhagim, okay? Whatever it is, you finished your last bracha. Now what? Before you take your three steps back. Until you've taken your three steps back, you are still engaged in a conference between, the meeting is on between yourself and Hashem. Best proof? Let's go slowly. On Rosh Chodesh, if you forget Yal V'Yavo, the din is you don't have to go back and repeat Shmon Esrei. On Chol HaMoed, if I forget Yal V'Yavo, I have to go back and repeat Shmon Esrei. So where am I? So I forgot Yal V'Yavo, and I finished Baruch Ato Hashem, I'm Boretz Amo Yisrael Bashalom. And even if I said Yirat Zerim Refi, Yagol Yifonech, Hashem Shem Goli, but I have not taken, come on, my three steps back, and I remember, whoops, I didn't say, come on, Yal V'Yavo, I can go back to Ritzei and say Yal V'Yavo there. Why? Because I am still Omeid Lefnei Hashem. I'm still in my tefillah. Once I've taken my three steps back, it's all over, and at that point there, I have to start from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. So the Yochid says it achar tefillah, so literally what? Within his, after the last bracha, but before he takes 3 steps back, Ushliach Tzibur, but the Chazan says it beensa tefillah, so he says it literally in the middle of the bracha revius, in the bracha of Kedusha Sayyur. And the reason for this, let's understand, is, okay, we might as well get to it from number 3. The Rambam won't explain it, but with the Rambam, we'll try to help you understand why that is so. The Rambam, at the very beginning, Hilchos Tshuva says that kol mitzvah shevetorah, all mitzvahs of the Torah, whether positive or negative, if the person violated one of them, whether intentionally or accidentally, when he does tshuva and he returns from his sin, he's obligated to what? Confess, lizvados, where? Lifnei hakel baruch hu. Now wait a second, what does that mean? You have to confess before God. Uncle Moshe told us, where's God? Everywhere. Mm-hmm. So God is everywhere. What is the Rambam saying? You know it already, that God is everywhere. So when the Rambam says that you are to be misvadeh, lifnei hakel baruch hu, before God, he means, and this is how the Golem understands this Rambam, that clearly he is, they preceded him, but this is how they understand this concept, that it is to be in tefillah. When a person, when they are in tefillah, reminded to us that you are literally before Hakel Baruch Hu. Shenemar, fight. It goes to Pasuk from Naso, which is the mitzvah of Vidui. So the idea is as follows. My friends, once the Chazan says his last bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Amorech Samo Yisrael Bashalom, he's no longer the Shaliach Tzibur. Shaliach Tzibur means he's the emissary, he's the messenger of the congregation. He is there to recite the Shemone Esrei. Once he has finished his last bracha, the Shlichus is over. He's finished. So he cannot do the Vidui at that point. We're going to suggest another reason later on as to why he does it in the fourth bracha. But the bottom line is that Vidui we see is clearly couched within the what? Within the Shemone Esrei. I saw that Reb Shlomo Kluger, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in the Shelos and Shuvos, raises the interesting question. What if a person, in other words, how far are we going to go with this idea that Vidui is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei? Meaning, let's say very simply, a person forgot to do the Vidui, he took his 3 steps back. Osa Shalom and Roma, he goes, oh, you get wild, it's from Kippur, I didn't say Vidui, etc. Alright, so he's going to say Vidui now. What's the obvious question? if it's like Yalva Yavo, in which case, oh, wait a second, you're not only going to say the Vidui now, but you're also going to have to what? Repeat your Shemona Esrei. And interestingly, he raises it as he's surprised that he discovered the wheel. And how come, you know, it isn't addressed? I believe I've seen that the answer is you would not go back and repeat the Shemona Esrei, but it's an interesting chakira that he has. The importance of relating, ideally for sure, the Vidui within Shemona Esrei. Good. Now, let's get down to business. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simut Tafrei Zayin, number 4, Sorech Rizvados Me'umot. You have to recite the Vidui standing up. Okay? We're talking about a person who, thank God, can stand. Alright? Here's your test. Where's this coming from? If I were to ask you, come on, where's it coming from? That's right, someone said it. Source number 1. The end of source number 1, what was his name? Barim Dudi, who says, come on, I was with the Gon Lador, I was with Shmuel, and what did Shmuel do? Come on, he stood up. He stood up, so, come on, from here we have a raya that Vidui requires Amida.
But all mitzvahs require Amida.
Excuse me?
When you do a mitzvah, you have to stand.
That's very interesting. Yeah. When you do a mitzvah, you have to stand. Okay, so the question is, Sfiras HaOmer, they base it on the word Bakom.
Right.
Okay, fine. So, I don't know, in other words, if across the board...
Krishma, you don't see.
No, but there one could argue, you know, that there is a whole debate in the Gemara. But that was prosper for
Willing to inspire them sit.
It's willing to inspire them sit. Thank you. Good. Let's go. What? Yeah, but that's also, one could argue that benching is because the davka, that's the way you ate, and it's the kriya suda.
Kiddush
good.
People have different
what?
Kiddush people have different
okay, different hold on. Kiddush good. At least you're with me. Let's go. Come on. What? Lulav and Esther is a very good example.
And it comes from a serious argument, because it's a general proposition that when you go mitzvah, you stand.
Okay, look, wait a second. We stand in Jersey, too. You don't think you're... I just want you to know. Take one. We're closer than farther, okay? But, okay, so hold on a second. What's your name?
Tzvi.
We're going to come back to Tzvi. But Tzvi has hit upon a very interesting practical point, okay? You'll see. Lean in there. Okay, I'll try to get you sooner than later. Watch. So, the Mechaber writes, Tzorech l'svados m'umot, Rav Yosef Karo, the Sfardi. V'afilu kishomale mishat, even when you're listening, Wednesday afternoon, we say it only the yachid, only the individual davas mincha, the chazan's not repeated Wednesday afternoon. But Wednesday night, even though there's no chazaras mishats benila, we say it in our Shtila Shemona Esrei this Wednesday night, which all live and be well, and the Chazan will lead us after Slichos, which take my word for it, is like a tefillah, so it's incorporated as part of the Slichos. And again, I stopped this program for a bulletin, just to show you that nobody, even in Lawrence, remembers a Kaddish Tiskabel ever utilized without a Shemona Esrei, except in Slichos. Again, you're not going to get a second exception to that rule. By definition, Tiskabel Tzolosom, except our prayers, is always that which follows a Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei is the Tefillah, Tiskabel Tzolosom. The only exception to the rule is Slichos, that as we know, we've been saying, and Mitzvah Hashem again tonight, after Slichos is a Kaddish Tiskabel. Okay, so I'm saying to you, and that's why Slichos begins with the Ashrei, very similar to a Mincha, Chazi Kaddish, the parallel is very, very strong, that Slichos is a Tefillah. So therefore, the fact that we're going to have, not a Chazaras HaShatz, please God, this Wednesday night, but that we're going to have a Vidui within Myriv, correct, and there's no repetition of the Shemona Esrei, but the Chazan will lead us Wednesday night in Vidui is incorporated as part of the Slichos. So the idea is what the Mechaber is saying is, let's think, please God, on Thursday morning we each davened our Shemona Esrei for Shacharis. So we said Vidui in our Shacharis Shemona Esrei. And now the Chazan is going to repeat the Shemona Esrei, and in his repetition of Shemona Esrei, he's going to say Vidui, correct? So what does the Mechaber say? Sorach l'svados m'umad, that you have to stand up for the repetition as well. Afilu kishamalei mishat, v'hu isvado kvar, you already said the Vidui. Sorach l'amod. What does the Ramos say? The Agah, v'yachzor v'yisvade im ha-shaliach tzibur. Oh, you are to repeat the vidui, says the Ramah, with the Chazan. In other words, you said the vidui shachris, please God, this Thursday morning in your shtila Shemona Esrei, in your silent Shemona Esrei. And now when the Chazan repeats the Shemona Esrei, the Ramah says, you are to say the vidui again with him. And v'ikra vidui hu avol anachnu chotanu. It's a mistake that it's the Ran in the third line down there. Only it's not in Rosh Hashanah. The Ran happens to be the last perek of Yuma. It happens to be on Dav Vav Amud Aleph, the Fi Dapei Harith, that you have the Ran there. And if you want to even hear the lusher of the Ran, Shema Mino Ikor Vidui Kachu, as the Gemara said, Kasua Gaonin, the Ran brings. Zichron Levracha, de Mehosha Minon, Shechayev Odom Lomar Havidui Meumad, one, Veshav Sibur Nami Chayev Leomer Im Hashatz. It's a very important point. That when the Chazan says the Vidui, you have to say it with him.
The Mishnah Brura tells us that the word mu'umad, tehechi, havi derech hachno, why do you have to stand for the confession? Because this is what? More of a humble kind of a posture. Umesfada believe sholem, v'tov sheyischa, you should lean over, kemo b'modim, v'lo yismoch al shim davar. If a person, let's say, has a shtender, as I have in front of me now, so it would be wrong for a person to lean significantly on the shtender in such a way, she'im yinote lo so davar, that if they would remove the shtender, you'd fall, that I'm actually leaning on it. V'im samach, and if you did, tzarachim, im yachzor v'yisvada, the Prima Gautam says, look how careful it is that you have to really be doing this on your own support and not leaning on something else. Now, and how far do you have to stand? Hamidas Rachlios Aracha Alchait Shonum Chayovim Aleihem Arba Misos Bezit. We have the Yashanu Bagadnu, you have the two Alchait Shechatanu, twice for each letter of the alphabet, then you have on the Chatoyim, good. Now watch. Number 6. Vuhu Esvado Kvar Milshono, very important from the Shatz. Who is Svada Kvar? Milshona Mashma did I told that the Mechaber is of the opinion the Kivan Shiv Svada Kvar Biatzmo, once you said your vidu by yourself, ain't Sorech Pam Sheni Lachzor Usvados Elo Shmo Amishat Kishar Chazoras Hashatz. Now, very simply, are there any Svardim in the room? Alright, so when you get home, please pick up the phone and call your Svardi friend. If you don't have one, make one and say, hi, I just got to check something with you. Tell me, in your shul, on Yom Kippur, when the Chazan repeats the Shemona Esrei, for sure the Chazan is going to say the Vidui. Do you say it with him or not? And I'm going to tell you that many of the Sfardim follow Maran and don't. And it's not just the Sfardim. Take a look at number 7. Number 7 is the Maaser Rav of the Vilna Gaon. Read it carefully. It's just one line. You can't miss it. Havidui or Shamnu v'alcheit b'chazoras hashatz omer hashatz. There's something stuck in my throat. What's the next word? Mazel levado. Come on. Levado means by himself. There's no other way to, you don't need, there's no two ways of understanding that word. Omer hashatz levado. The Hatzibur, what? Shom in. Very interesting. Now, what's going on here? So, very quickly, what's going on? There's a basic machlokes between the Machaber and the Vilna Gaon on the one hand, and the Ramah and others citing from the Ran on the other hand, that basically, what is happening here in terms of the Vidui and Shemona Esrei? Is the Vidui looked upon as an integral part of the Shemona Esrei? If it is, then the Chazan says the whole Shemona Esrei, and just as I listen to the first part of the Shemona Esrei, I listen to this part, and this part is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei. In which case, all I have to do is what? Listen. Or no, the Vidui is not an integral part of the Shemona Esrei. It's something which is added to the Shemona Esrei. And once it's being added to the Shemona Esrei, then I have to participate in the response as well. And both practices are practicing today. But I want to now tell you the following. The Rambam omits this law that the vidui has to be mi'umad. In other words, when you'll find when the Rambam talks about vidui, he deletes it altogether. Now the question is, wait a second. The Rambam has the Gemara just like we do. It's source number one. It's the next to the last line. Shmuel, the Gadol Hador, got up. As Shmuel got up, so do we, right? Svi and everybody else. We get up for Vidui, good. We have a precedent for it. So the question is, why does the Rambam omit it? And I'd like to suggest something very fascinating, that for the next few minutes, you're going to run with me, but we're going to learn a very interesting phenomena regarding each time we come to shul and regarding the Chazoras Hashatz and how we are to treat the Chazoras Hashatz, and certainly how the Rambam did. And we'll spend a few minutes on this, and I think you'll find this part exciting, so that something that we're so familiar with will become, I trust, a bit more dear, precious to us. Yes, please.
The Rambam says, Yotir Pachat Filoso.
Right.
He's talking about Bidui, so he's standing. If Pachat Filoso is standing, Yimu Umad, so it's implied that he's standing.
No. First of all, okay, that's very, very interesting. So he's implying that you're standing, you are correct, but he does not enumerate it as one of the qualifications for vidui. So, and I'm going to suggest the reason for that is because I'm not talking about the yachid when he is saying it. I'm talking about the yachid when the chatz is saying it. When the chazan says the vidui, how am I? I've already said my vidui. What am I to do at such a time? Rambam doesn't say. But the answer is that the Rambam is going to tell us that I have to stand for Chazoras HaShatz, and since this is an integral part of the Chazoras HaShatz, and that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. I think it's so important because too many of us have a misconception as to what Chazoras HaShatz is. Most of us have the impression that once upon a ignorant people and knew, and again, let's understand, let's appreciate this. They didn't have printing press as we did. So Sidurim they didn't have as many as we did, and certainly Machzorim they didn't have. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, the introduction, the Tem Psukim, the conclusion, the Brachos. How many people had a Machzor? And they were running from community to community, and they took a Machzor, they had a Machzor. Again, when did printing come about? The 1500s? What happened to all this before that? So watch. So in number 8, which I have is as follows, a very important Shilte Giborim on the last Amid of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and in Dapi Arif, it's Yud Beis Amud Aleph, he points out there as follows, the Am Shebesados, these are the ignorant persons who literally are out in the fields. Now watch this, we're not talking about on Yontif now, we're talking about Mitten Devach, the Anisi. They are literally, it's beyond their control. Their financial circumstance was such they couldn't come to shul. Yotzim yidei chavaso, they were able to satisfy their obligation. Rak bitfilos de chazoras hashatz. They satisfied their obligation with the repetition of the Shemor Esrei. Why? Shehein keneged tamidim. Because the chazoras hashatz is corresponding to the korban tamid. There was a korban tamid every morning, every single day of the year, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, right? Every weekday, there was a daily morning sacrifice and a daily afternoon sacrifice. Our prayer in the morning corresponds to the korban tamid, the shacharis in the morning korban, and our mincha in the afternoon corresponds to the korban in the afternoon. Well, who was the baal of the korban? We'll come back to this later also. Whose carbon was it? It was everybody's carbon, but you didn't have to be there. In practice, obviously, the entire nation was not in the Beis HaMikdash when the carbon was brought. So therefore, just as the carbon was the carbon of the entire nation, so too the tefillah, which is in place of the carbon, can satisfy the obligation of those who are not there. Aval ein shatz potero sum b'tkiya shofar. Let's say very simply, someone didn't come to shul, even with a good reason, right? He couldn't come to shul, right? He broke his leg, can't come to shul. Now what? No problem. They're going to blow in shul, right? Wrong, he says. The chazan, whoever's blowing, can't poter them, as well as mikra megillah. If you heard it, you got the mitzvah. Manish tana. So in brackets, I'm telling you a very important yisod. Megillah and shofar, you fulfill your obligation through shomea ka'ona. Let's spend 2 minutes, look at those words. You hear it, shomea kih, it's like you said it. I hear something, it's like I said it. That's a very important point. We're all familiar with this when it comes to Kiddush. I'm the guest of Barry for Shabbos, okay? So whether he gives me the chance to make Kiddush, that's not important. I'll say, please, Bala Bas, make Kiddush. When he makes Kiddush, and I hear his Kiddush, and as we'll see in a moment, I had the intent to be Yotze, which means to fulfill my obligation with his Kiddush, Shomea, my hearing, Kir, it's like I said it. Now I have to tell you, as a boy, I won't forget, there was a widow in Crown Heights on my block that would come very often and eat with us on Friday night. And this woman thought, because, after all, unfortunately, she was alone, and she wasn't able to make Kiddush by herself, and so she wanted to hear Kiddush from a man. And I say, wonderful, that maybe the ignorance was good, that she was able to come and Baruch Hashem be with a family and not be by herself on a Friday night. From the letter of the law, a woman is as obligated in Kiddush as much as a man. If the husband has laryngitis, then he can't talk on Friday night. So the wife can make Kiddush for the man. It's very important. Her obligation for Kiddush is identical, no more, no less than his. Identical. Now, you come to my house every Friday night, my wife and I don't choose before Shabbos, you know, the odd thing. No, the answer is for tznius reasons. It's very nice. But in theory, if we were ever alone on a Friday night, okay, in theory, she could make Kiddush for me just as I make Kiddush for her. Guess what you missed by not coming to the shir? Okay, you tell your husbands. See how they only come. And it's on tape, they can hear it also. The answer is Shomea Ka'ona. If you hear it from someone who's obligated, it makes no difference if a woman hears it from a man. If a man hears it from a woman, as long as you are obligated. But Shomea Ka'ona means you hear it and you satisfy your responsibility. Now watch. This concept of Shomea Ka'ona, the Rambam has in number 9. Watch. Kol Hashemeya Bracha Min HaBrachos. If you hear a blessing, I hear Barry's Kiddush. Mitchilasav Ad Sof, I heard the whole thing. Vinis Kavin, and I had the intent. Latzeis Bo Yedecha Vassal, to satisfy my obligation. Yotza, what are the next 4 words? V'yava Pi Shelo Ana Amen. What does that mean? I get the mitzvah of Barry's Kiddush even if I didn't answer what? Amen. All I did was what? Listen, I heard it, and I had kavana. Correct, but I don't have to. Do I have to say amen? No, this is clear. We're not deducing it from the Rambam. The Rambam says it explicitly. Afa pishlo ona amen. Number 9, very important. Ah, v'chol ona amen achar mvarech. If I answer amen to Barry's Kiddush, harezekim mvarech. So that's like a cherry. That's the whipped cream. I not only got. It's like there's no difference whether he who said Kiddush, we did. What do you mean we did? Everybody heard he did. I was quiet. No, I said amen. So there's no difference in you and me. But if I didn't say amen, all I did was listen to you. I fulfilled my biblical obligation of Kiddush. Shomea, hearing, ki'oneh.
So did the amen do anything different for you?
Sure. The amen is a enhancement, right? It's additional gradation, all right. But I got the mitzvah, just by listening. Now watch. That's number 9. Number 10, interestingly, okay. Shliach tzibur motzias harabim yedecho vasan. Okay. Now, when it comes to what the Shmone Esrei, the Chazin satisfies what? The obligation of those that are there. Ketzad. B'shoa shum espaliel v'heim shonim. What's the next 2 words? Oh no. It's got to be a mistake. In number 9, what the Rambam say, Apopi, come on. Shelo on the Amen. In number 9, he says, what do I have to say to Barry's Kiddush? Nothing. And in number 10, what does he say? If you're in shul, the only way the chazan can satisfy your obligation is when those that are in shul heim shom im ve'onim amein achar kol bracha u'bracha. Then harehein kimis palalin. Then they, the audience, are like those who are offering a tefillah. Listen to this very quickly. What the Rambam is teaching us is a very important point. And Rabbi Salveitchik was very fond of expressing this, that there are 2 separate things. There's tefillah b'tzibur, as we'll see in a moment, which means that 10 Jews or more should daven together. And then there's tefillas hatzibur, as we'll call it in a moment, which means a prayer which is being offered of the minyan, 10 or 1,000. We're all davening together. The first thing we did was we said our Shmone Esrei by ourselves. And then the chazan is not repeating the Shmone Esrei simply because there might be somebody in the room that's ignorant. No, if that's the case, Avery's right. No, yeshiva, graduate, Rosh Yeshiva, no. Come on, what are we wasting our time for? And don't tell me tradition. No, no, no. So what's going on here, the Rambam says as follows. There are two kinds of prayer that we do when we pray with a minyan. First is each person's personal prayer. And then there's a prayer that's being offered for and by the chazan for all of us. For that prayer to work, we have to answer Amen. And if we don't answer Amen, it doesn't work. And interestingly, look at number 11. Watch.
Excuse me, number 10.
Good.
Things where you put the asnapta.
Go ahead.
If the asnapta is after Shomin, then 9 and 10 agree.
Vehain Shomin, go ahead.
Asnapta, period, whatever you say.
Go ahead. But why, excuse me, my friend, why does he have to say the onin amen if in number 9 you told us you don't need to say amen? He sure is. But that's exactly the point. That you well said. I'll go with that. Good, good. Watch. But now take a look at number 11. Oh, Tzvi, I'm so glad you came. Watch. Here we go. Watch this, my friend. Here we go. The Rambam says in number 11. What are we talking about? We're talking about a birkas hamazon of 3 or more. A zimun of 3 or of 10. Watch. V'yachakach, after you said the Rabbi Stein of Oreich, says the Rambam, V'yachakach omer, don't worry, he doesn't give you the whole benching, Baruch Ato Hashem, Okinu Me'o Cholam, Hazon, Esau, Kul, Batum, etc. Ad shegomer arba brachos. Come on. Now, watch this. Why is Barry's Kiddush different than birkas hamazon? Once again, what did I have to say to Barry's Kiddush?
Nothing.
Thanks. Nothing. And what do I have to say to the one who's leading the benching? What does the Rambam say? And this is not tefillah, my friend. Okay? So what has happened here? V'hein onin amen. Achar kol bracha v'bracha. As you'll see why. Turn the page. Come on. We got to get started. Yeah?
The others didn't bench it.
Excellent. That's exactly what's happening. Very nice. What Barry's saying is that just like by Kiddush, he said the Kiddush. And I listened to him. So in yesteryear, that's what they did for benching. If you honor somebody to bench, so Tzvi, please lead the benching. Tzvi is going to say the brachos out loud. And we are going to listen to each of the 4 brachos. And what are we going to do? That's right. We're going to answer Amen after each of the brachos. Why? Now the truth of the matter is we don't do this anymore today because a little bit of egg on our face. Kiddush, once a week, and it's one bracha. Okay, they had enough confidence I could listen to Barry's Kiddush. But Birkas HaMazon, 4 brachos, they're afraid my mind is going to wander, and therefore they said it's better that I should make the brachos myself. But that's why the proper practice is that when we honor Tzvi to bench, he really should say the 4 blessings out loud, not just the Rabbi Stein of Orech and the last line of each bracha. But now, here we go. So number 15, excuse me, top of the page of the pasuk, yeah? So where is this coming from that you have to answer amen? So watch, perhaps, and I say it's perhaps with respect, but perhaps you can say that what do you find, as we had a few weeks ago in Parshas Kisisa, the Jewish people cross the Yarden, they have this assembly, and there's 12 orors, and they only gave you 3, but what do you see? V'anu kol ha'am, v'amru, come on, amen. Go to the end of that line, orumakla ovimo, second line down, v'amar kol ha'am, you got it, amen. Orumashke gevul reyehu, v'yomar kol ha'am, amen. You'll take my word for it. And if not, take a look in chapter 27 in Devarim, that the phrase, v'yomar kol ha'am, amen, is repeated 12 times. Give me a break. I got it. No, you didn't get it. You're being told that to be part of a tzibur, you've got to say amen. Oh, now watch. Here we go. Says the Rambam, number 13, you got to come to shul, everybody. Sorry. Tfilas hatzibur, hatzibur, nishmas tamid, vafiloi v'em chotim, even if some among us might not yet be perfect. Hina kodesh baruch hu moes v'tfilas and shol rabim. God doesn't reject the prayer of the group. V'fichach tzorach adam l'shati v'asmo imat tzibur, join the community in prayer. Lo yispalo b'yochid kozman sh'yochol yispalo mat tzibur. And 15, V'achar sheyafsia sholiach tzibur sholosh psios achorov. After the chazan takes his 3 steps backwards, v'yamod, yet there's private shmon esrei, maschil u'mispalo v'korom, mitchilas habrachos, v'hotzi, watch this, who is the chazin in the repetition shmon esrei satisfying? Hesmi shalo hispaleo, eh? And now, v'hakol omdim, everybody stands, and this is why the Rambam will tell you that you don't necessarily stand for the what? For the vidui, but you're standing for the Shemona Esrei. According to the Ramah, you're standing for the vidui. V'hakol omdim v'shomim v'onim amin achar kol bracha u'bracha bein elu shelo yatsu yedei chovasan. And something stuck in my throat. Come on, come on. What does that mean? It's very clear. You'll forgive me, the ignoramuses among us, those the yeshiva dropouts. And also, come on, bein elu, the valedictorian, shikvar yatsu yedei chovasan. He knows how to daven, and he davened, and now what's he doing? What do you mean? So understand. If we did nothing else, because we're gonna change gears in 1 second. Good evening. What did we learn tonight? We learned tonight to treat the repetition of the Shemona Esrei with much greater seriousness than perhaps some of us have in the past. So, very simply, when Kedusha, first of all, the proper way to do it is as follows. When you take your 3 steps back, left, right, left, ideally you should stand there until the chazan comes to Kedusha. Now, Yom Nerayim might take him a long time to get to Kedusha, might be difficult because technically speaking, one have to, you know, no one should walk in front of you, so leave Yom Nerayim alone that you can take your 3 steps forward. But on a regular Shabbos, regular day that you come to Shul, if it's preferable, you take your 3 steps back and you stand there until the chazan comes to Kedusha, right, left, right. Now the Kedusha is over. Ah, Shalom Aleichem, Tzvi, how are you? How was the vacation? No, I can't ask how the vacation was and how the children are and how the family was, and I care about him and I like him, but it's most inappropriate if you know why. If you don't know why, then what's wrong? I'm a friendly guy and he's a friendly guy. But if I understand the seriousness of Chazoras Hashatz, which is that this is my tefillah. I have 2 tefillos every time I come to shul. There's my tefillah that I recite, and a tefillah that's being recited on my behalf, okay? And this tefillah that's being recited on my behalf is not my personal tefillah. My personal tefillah is, come on, what I say, my own quiet, shtila shmon esrei. This is the communal tefillah. So the answer is no, no. 1 second. What the Rambam, that's tefillah bitzibur. It's tefillah, you can't, of course, I said it with 9 others. But the Rambam doesn't talk in number 13 about tefillah bir. He talks about tefillah ha. We're talking about the second tefillah, which is emanating from the tzibur, and it's being said, our tefillah, by our responding amen to the brachos. So with all due respect, me, I don't waste time. I learned during Chazoras Hashatz, right? Wrong. It's wrong to learn during Chazoras Hashatz. My learning during Chazoras Hashatz doesn't show I'm a big masmid. Shows I really don't know the din. And unfortunately, I'm going to teach people the wrong thing. Oh, he's learning. I can learn too. And unfortunately, by your not reciting on me, you're missing out from your participation within this Chazoras Hashatz. So it is, for nothing else, good. But now we're going to get to the second part of our shir. What's going on here? Why do we have a vidui in your personal Shemona Esrei and in your repetition of Shemona Esrei? And I want to say, and this is it, that just as your personal Shemona Esrei contains your personal vidui, each and every one of us, Hashamnu, Pagadnu, Gozalnu, similarly, the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, which is the communal Shemona Esrei, is really a vidui on the communal level. It's not the same vidui. It's the same words, but I got to tell you something. The words are there to protect the innocent. What does that mean? The Chayyadam says so beautifully, you've got homework when you go home tonight, and you've got to have it done by Wednesday afternoon. What does that mean? It means that it's not sufficient to come to shul over Yom Kippur and say, Vashamnu, Pogadnu, Gozalnu. What do these words mean? You have to understand that's the ABC, each letter of the alphabet. And you have to, whatever language you speak Hebrew? Wonderful. It's the Aleph is to remind us of those sins which begin with the letter Aleph. Says the Chayyadam, the Aleph is Ochalti, Macholos Asuros. I might have eaten those things which were improper. Okay? Not me. So we go on to Beis. Beirachti. I make a bracha. With Kavana? Maybe not. Okay. Whatever. If the shoe fits, that's what it is. It's the ABC, like I said, but each person knows what is for them, and with all due respect. So we're all saying the same words, Oshamnu Bogadnu, but I have to tell you that if you are aware of a specific wrongdoing that you have done during this past year, say it in the Oshamnu. Now, very simply, if I'm davening next to Tzvi, it would be arrogant for me to say my shortcoming, my sin out loud. I'm not proud of it. I don't want Tzvi to know. And vice versa. Worried to have any. All right? So the idea is we say this to ourselves, the Oshamnu, Bagadnu, etc., but it's not limited to those words. This is a springboard that from this we come to atone for. It's really something tachliti. It's very, very practical. Now, I'm suggesting that what's true on the individual level is equally true on the communal level. What does that mean? It means the community, as we're going to see in a moment, has responsibilities just as the individual has responsibilities. I have to be a good boy. Good. I have to be a good boy in terms of what I do. Good. I have responsibility towards other people, etc. Good. This is the individual vis-a-vis he and she themselves. But there is another state. We're all part of a community. And guess what? We're going to see in a moment that the community has to, what? Live up to its potential. And when the community doesn't live up to its potential, the community has to say, Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu. And all of us who are part of the community, whether you're paying for your seats for Yom Noroyim or not, whether you pay dues to your shul, we all have to feel that we are a part of Klal Yisrael and their specific community where you are. So therefore, watch. The Rambam says in number 16, the Sora Mishtaleach, which was that scapegoat, as we call it. The goat, there are two goats, the Hagrola, we're going to read about part of the Kriyas HaTorah, the lottery this Thursday morning as part of the Avoda, and it's part of the afternoon in the Shmona Esrei, Musaf. So we have two goats. One went Lifnai V'Lifnim, the blood was sprinkled literally in the Holy of Holies, and the second one, which was literally sent out and cast down a mountain, and it was broken apart, and this is one of the chukim of the Torah, that this atones for the Jewish nation. The story of Mishtaleach Lefishu Kapora Kol Yisrael Kohen Godol Misvade Olav Aloshem Kol Yisrael. I'd like to suggest that your chazin this Thursday takes on the role of number 16, the same way the Kaveyochol was going on with Slichos, right? Vayavur Hashem Alpon Vayikros. What's going on with Alponov? So the Pasha Pshat you're going to tell me is that before Moshe, and you're right, but Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin on the base, Umoli Mikra Kosev, if not for this, he wouldn't be able to say it, that Kaviyoch HaKodesh Baruch Hu Wad. So the Chazin is really taking the place of, I can't say it, but you know it. Alright? We do the best we can. Okay? And that's why, with all due respect, Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to choose the most fitting person to be the Chazin. Right? Why? Because look whose place he's taking. Okay? You got to do what you can do. So here, I'm suggesting that when the Chazin leads us in the vidui on Wednesday night, Thursday for Shacharis, Thursday for Musaf. Again, for that second Vidui, this is like the Kohen Gadol, who's Misfadel of Hashem Kol Yisrael, which is a different Vidui. It's not your personal Vidui, it's the communal Vidui. Shinemar, Misfadel of Hashem. Now watch. I'm going to leave. Okay, number 17 is a very interesting concept. Okay? And it basically says something very, very interesting. That there's a difference between a korban that belongs to an individual and a korban that belongs to the tzibur, to the literally community, to the nation. And let's say I have five people that get together. So it's five yechidim, 50 people, 500 people, 5,000, and 500,000. 500,000 people is still a korban yochid. You'll call it a korban shutfim. It's many partners. But it's not a korban tzibur. What makes tzibur is a separate entity. As you have there in number 17, tzibur, ein misa bet tzibur. A very interesting halacha. The halacha says that, God forbid, a man needed to bring a korban chatas. He designates tomorrow korban chatas, and he dies before he has a chance to bring the korban. He's an honorable man. His children are honorable. The children want to bring the father's korban, right? Wrong, you can't, because the owner has died. What about a korban tzibur? People, you'll forgive me, no, ein misa bet tzibur, it's in a separate category. Tzibur is different. Oh, so I'd like to suggest that what the rabbis have us do reflects, called the tikkun rabbanon, ke'ein doraisa tikkun. What does that mean? We do what we find in the Torah. Look at 18. You find a dead body, the Torah says there's the concept of egla rufa. Okay, so what does that mean? We're going to take this, what? Heifer, this calf, and we're going to break its neck, etc. And there's a special recitation that the elders say, and this is line 18, the end of the first line. They're going to say, Yodeinu lo shafchu sadam hazeh, v'yineinu lo ra'u, we didn't spill this blood. Give me a break, says the Gemara in Sota, daf mem heyam abeis, v'chi al datenu also. Did anybody think that the Bezdin, Ziknei Bezdin, shochei damemein, they're the ones that spilled the blood? Ah, so what does it mean? Shaloba al Yodenu means this person who either or was killed or got. What happened? He leaves the community without food, right? We let him go below Mazon or without Levoya. So what happens? The guy has no food. People need to eat. So he's going to mug somebody. And when he mugs somebody, either he's going to get killed or he'll kill somebody. So who's responsible ultimately? We're responsible because we let him go without giving him the food. Had he given the food, there never would have been the mugging in the first place. So the Bezdin, what are they doing? Come on, they're doing a communal vidui that we know. We did live up to our potential. So what does that mean? I'm suggesting that on Yom Kippur, we are doing no less. We have to say we lived up, or if not, we've got to shape up the same way that the individual says, look here, Oshamnu, Begadnu, Gozalnu, so the tzibur as well has to say Oshamnu, and we do say Oshamnu, Begadnu, Gozalnu. Now, number 19 is very fascinating. I can't go into details, but I'm going to tell you very outside what it's about. Very interesting halacha. The halacha says, people, we live in America, and we are so influenced by the American society that charity is something which is voluntary. You want to give charity, you give charity. You don't want to give charity, you're still a nice guy. No, so a mitzvah is a nice thing to do, right? Wrong. What's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is Hashem v'sivanu. He commanded us. You're obligated to give charity. The Gemara says, kofin al tzedakah. You know what that means, kofin? Kofin means they're able to force. So very simply, if God forbid, there's a need in the community, whatever the need is, and very simply, you are assessed to give a certain amount based upon your income. Okay. And a person says, I'll sit this one out, right? Wrong. So what happens is, the emissary of Bezin can come Friday afternoon, while you're, quote, busy, and at least you make yourself busy, okay, and you know what they're there for, and the guy says, you know what, now Friday afternoon, the shower, everything, I can't find my checkbook. He says, no problem. They see the break front, that nice silver Hanukkah menorah. It's 3 months to Hanukkah. As soon as you give us the check, you get your Hanukkah menorah back. That's what the Gemara says they did. Memashkinin alatzdaka. So Tosfos asks the obvious question, wait a second, there's a technicality of law here. How do you impose a mitzvah tzedakah because the Torah gives its reward? So Reb Chaim, Rabbi Salvechik's grandfather, Zichron Lebracha, gave a very interesting answer. And that is that there are two levels of the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a personal level of tzedakah. Each person has to give tzedakah. And then there's a communal obligation of tzedakah. The community has to give tzedakah. Right? There has to be an address that if God forbid a crisis, someone comes from out of the community, whatever it is, etc. So they don't have to knock on doors. There has to be an established system within the community that the community is ready to. Lo aleinu, I can't tell you how impressed I was. And I'm not picking this tzedakah over another one. But I have to tell you that the girl, and I mentioned her name even, Shishab Rafua Shlema, little Ariella Rivka, Ben Devorah Pesel. So this boss, thank you. This little girl, 6 years old, was rushed to Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Rosh Hashanah. Ev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so very simply. So the parents weren't aware of this, they had to go, and so it wasn't the priority was that their daughter Shav Rafua Shlema. But once they're going to have to be there, they certainly didn't have any food with them or anything. They hired a driver because they knew they'd get to the hospital after Shkia, etc. I was so impressed that I made one phone call to Chai Lifeline. Now again, I'm not saying there aren't others, but I said to myself and to Chevy that this tzedaka went up in my mind so much that first of all, it was late in the afternoon, somebody was there at all times to answer the phone. And then, sure, you're going to Philadelphia, they gave me the name of the person to call in Philadelphia, they said, I'm telling you now that the apartment is stocked with food, v'kach havei. I don't have to tell you, it was a very nice, at least pleasant thing, that at least the parents, you know, who are, you know, agonizing over their child, at least had something to eat. This is what it means. The community has to be prepared. And if the community is not prepared, that's what we're saying in number 18. And number 19 says, once again, there's this concept of a communal tzedakah. And therefore, suggested Rav Soloveitchik, that this is the bracha that we say in every single Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur. Here we go. Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech, Mochel, V'Soleach, Lavon, Oseinu, stop. Those are our personal chatoim. V'Lavonos, Amo, Beis Yisrael. Those are our communal chatoim. There are two levels of chatoim. There are the personal, that's the quiet Shmona Esrei. And then there's the Tzibur, the public, the communal Averos, that's the repetition. That's why we're saying, quote, the same thing, but it's not the same thing. All right? Twice. And then, Umavir Hashmoseinu B'chol Shana V'Shana, that goes back to the Yochid, that he removes even those sins that, God forbid, could have been Shemama for us. Melech Al Kol Ores Mekadesh Tov Yom HaKippurim. Now, number 21, a very quick, sharp proof to what I'm saying, and hopefully it's correct. What was my thesis? That the second vidui in every prayer is not for the individual, it's for the community. Watch this. I know you're all busy Wednesday afternoon, but tell me, why is it that in Lawrence, and in Fairlawn, and in Yerushalayim, and in Bnei Brak, nowhere does the Chazan repeat the vidui this Wednesday afternoon? He's going to repeat it Wednesday night, he's going to repeat it Thursday morning, he's repeated for Mincha, he'll repeat it for Musaf, for Mincha. Why not Wednesday afternoon? What, we can't stay in shul 8 more minutes, if it takes 8 minutes? And what's the answer? The answer is because that's it. Because the whole reason for the vidui this Wednesday afternoon is lest you not make it there in the evening. It's not for the tzibur. Unless, God forbid, you're going to be in the emergency room. Shema Yechonek. If you're going to choke on your Suda Mavsekas and you're not going to make it. So the rabbis were good to us and said, oh, get it in beforehand. But it's nothing community there. And therefore, it's not to be repeated. Now, let me just share with you the following. I'm coming as a friend, so I'm just going to share a medrash with you, and if you were in my community, I would stress this. Here I'm just going to be a gentleman, and I'm going to just share it with you. These 23 and 24, and I'm going to close with the very bottom one. Here we go. These two midrashim are so significant. They come from the end of Shir HaShirim. Hayosheves Baganim, literally translated by Rashi, those who reside in Golus, outside. Chavirim Akshivim. Who are these Chavirim? So you'll hear in a second. So we're told, Kish Yisrael Nechnosim Lebatei Knesios, when Jews gather together in their synagogues and they recite the Shema together, Bekol Echad, Bedeyo V'Tam Echad, and they are unified. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lehem Hayosheves Baganim Kishatem Korim Chavirim, when you are buddies, friendly, respectful one to another, Ani Upamalya Shali Makshivim Lekole Hashmiini, I yearn to be in your presence. Avo, us have to contribute to the tzibur. How? The simplest level is by being nice one to another. And this one to another means, as we're going to talk about in a few moments, not simply to my friends. There's halacha on the Shulchan Aruch that says sheyefayis chaveiro be'erev Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur, we know, atones for sins between man and God. Man and man, I have to go to my friends and ask for mechila. Now don't get me wrong, but it's a farce. If Tzvi and I are buddy buddies, that I have to call Tzvi, come on! Of course he's going to forgive me. But let's be honest, that one or two people, you don't need more. That for whatever the reason, you know something, I even forgot. I forgot why I don't say good Shabbos to them. I just know one thing. That guy there, I don't say good Shabbos to him. He doesn't say good Shabbos to me. That's the one you've got to call. The one that it's going to hurt you to dial. It's busy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I tried. Come on, that's what you got to do. Shiafayis Chaveiro means that you're obligated to restore the relationship between the ones where it's been broken down. That's what we have to create here. It's not, you'll forgive me. There's a bird in the Torah which has the nicest name. It's called Chasida. What kind of a bird is it, Rabbi Andy? Trefa bird. Why is it a trefa bird? The rabbis tell us, because it does chesed with its buddies. That's it. With my group of friends, count on me anytime. No. That's not what we're supposed to be. That's not who we are. Doesn't mean I can be everybody's best friend. Doesn't mean I have to be everybody's best friend. But that there should be this distance. I don't talk to you for whatever the reason. Your hat is different than my hat. Your yama had to be as important as that. So one second. Avol kish Yisrael koring kriyashma betira padas zeh makdim vezeh ma'acher v'inam uchuvonim daitom bekriyashma. Ouch. And 24. Ein chaverim elo malachi hashores. Who are these chaverim? Usnu datchem shlo tisnu zeze. You're told, be careful that you should not, God forbid, have any kind of hatred one to another. Velo sikanu zeze. We can't be jealous. I have to tell you very quickly. 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, 10 commandments. Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKadosh. What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not be jealous. That's Yom Kippur. If it's Lifnei Hashem, what's Lifnei Hashem mean? I recognize that God controls. So how can I be jealous? This guy's got what I consider to be a nicer house, a better this, a better that. So what am I saying? I'm saying, Hashem, how could you do that? How could you mess up? Am I not as good as him? Am I not even better than him? Don't I shuckle more than him? What's going on here? So if I am jealous of the next one, so what's happening is it's a very basic violation of the appreciation of Lifnei Hashem. And very possibly it takes till Yom Kippur to be able to overcome that terrible midah of kinah. I can't embarrass somebody. Shloyomru Malachi Ashares Lifnea Mibona Shalola. Torah, Shenasatalem Yisrael, the Torah, Enamoskimba, God forbid, we don't keep it. Oh, sure. We keep Shabbos and we keep kosher and it's glad kosher, etc. But if we're not a mensch one to another, there's a significant fallacy in our Torah. Vare Eva Vikin of his sin of Atachmas, ouch, terrible words. Beinehem, Beatem, and you the angels, Makaiman Osab Bishalom. Before I get to the last part, I have to tell you, this last gra is one that you have to stand up for. And that is as follows. I really believe, I want to talk just for another minute or two about Sibur. And I know that we in this group don't have yet the ability yourselves. But each person has to feel not just a krechts, each person has to talk to the right one and talk it up. I'm talking about, I have to believe in this community, I know in my community, there are kids that will talk straight, fall through the cracks. What does that mean? It means we have a yeshiva system. And you know something? It works for most of the kids. And there's a curriculum. And the curriculum says, in the first grade you do this, through the eighth grade. And then we go to high school. And in the first year of high school we do this, etc. If the boy's a girl, if they don't, what happens? Too often, when they don't, unfortunately, we don't have the backup facility for them to provide for them and say, okay, you can't be in the regular curriculum. We have this backup for you. And I know, lo aleinu, in my community, and I have to believe here, and I have to believe in every community, there are boys and girls that fall through. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says on the pasuk, Chanoch lenar al pi darko, which means educate the child in accordance with his way. Gam ki yaskin, even when the child is going to get older, lo yosem imenu. So we're going to do this outside, because I'm missing a line or two at the bottom, I apologize. I didn't want to make another sheet. This isn't going to scare you. So listen carefully. Most of us learn pshat to mean, as is correct, teach a child in their youth, and they're going to remember it when they get older. What does that mean? Many of us remember fondly the third grade teacher we had, the fifth grade teacher, and the positive influence that they had upon us. Good? I'm all for that. You know what the Vilna Gaon says? The Vilna Gaon says, Chanoch lenar api darko. You have to educate each child in accordance with his or her character traits. Why? Because once the child is born with these traits, gam ki yaskin, even when they get older, lo yasur mimeno, these traits are going to be there. You've tried to suppress it as the parent, and after all, you have the allowance and you control. Wonderful. But as soon as he's out of your house, what's he going to do? He's going to go to his natural self. And you've denied him the opportunity of expanding and channeling his natural self into a Torah way. If Rav Hirsch wouldn't say it, Yudin wouldn't say it. But Rav Hirsch says, and again, hats off. He points an accusative finger to Yitzchak and Rivka and says, you want to know why Esav turned out to be an Esav? Because he was put in the same class as a Yaakov. And you can't give the same curriculum to an Esav as you would to a Yaakov. You got to stand up for that pshat. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. And that's what I'm saying. That when we sing, and it's an amazing thing, we sing, the personal vidui we saw has to be bachna. I have to bend down, and I have to say it quietly. The second one we sing, you know why we sing? Because we are assured of the survival of the community. But let it not only be the survival of the fittest, let it be that the entire community should survive. We have an obligation for these children. Now, there's no question about it. I see the difficulty. Come on. Do you want your kid? Do you want your grandchild to go to school with... Okay. So the answer is, if that is a factor, then we have to create other programs. But to say, my kid is all right? No. Not every child can be properly educated with the standard curriculum. And we have to come to grips with it. And the same way that Baruch Hashem, we've come to grips nowadays that we have programs for children who are developmentally disabled. And we have all kinds of wonderful ways that you can go to a Sinai program, as it's called in my neck of the woods, and whatever it's probably called over here. And it's terrific that you have children who, like the famous case in the Gemara, where the Rebbe had to repeat it 400 times, Rav Preda. Okay, but the child learned. Good. That every child should learn about Shabbos. I agree. Every child. So just as we are able to understand that a child who's developmentally disabled, he needs it, she needs it, so too a child that acts out and the child says, look here, this Gemara is not for me. Wonderful. Embrace the child and say, okay, we will have a curriculum that is for you. But Torah is for you. That's number one. Number two, I think that the community, and I talk to myself and I talk to you as well, there are too many singles. For whatever the reason, they're not married. Okay? Halavai, we can find shiduchim. But that's not what I'm going at. But I'm saying that too often, bring them into your home and show them the opportunity. And again, what I'm calling very simple outreach. Sukkot is coming. It's so nice that we invite our friend into the sukkah. But believe me, if I didn't invite Svi, he'd still be my friend. And if Barry didn't invite me, I would still be his friend. But guess what? Sukkot is coming. Think, who down my block doesn't have a sukkah? They're not, quote, so religious. That's the one you have to invite to your house. For Sukkot. That's what it means. What source was it? Number 18. Ouch. That's the one. Yodeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. And you don't have to be a rabbi. And even if your wife didn't bake it, you have good bakeries, you'll bring them into your house. Bring them in. You don't realize what opportunity you have at such a time. And I'm just going to close by telling you, we're living in very difficult times. I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Navi, I'm not going to come up with any kind of suggestions. Today we turned on the radio, 25,000 died in Pakistan. The numbers are just astounding. Between last Yom Kippur and this Yom Kippur, around the world, millions, not a million, but millions of people have been, I'll use that word, disengaged, have been dislocated because of tsunamis, because of hurricanes, because of mudslides, because of earthquakes. There's something going on in the world. And for us to just simply go about our business. We're part of a bigger seaboard. And I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing, that when we say Al Chait, when we say Oshamnu, A, we have to take Tikhu Musar, as the Navi Tzfanya says in chapter 3, but besides that, I think that we do owe a response. You should know the name Rav Nevinson, one of the Baruch Hashem, a beautiful Jew in every which way, with a beautiful Hadras Panim, considered by many to be the Rav of the Eir Atika, the old city in Yerushalayim. After the tsunami, Rav Nevinson left the yeshiva and spent a week in Sri Lanka, saying, I just can't stay here. Whatever I can do to help. Now, again, that's a Jew who understands seaboard to mean not just my immediate seaboard. But I'm humbly suggesting that the title of tonight's talk, B'inyan Vidui Hayochid Vad Seabor, why do we say the Oshamnu again and then repeat it? Because it's two levels. My personal, good. But I'm part of a community. I'm part of a nation, and I'm part of a world community, and I have to literally respond in the positive way, and I believe that the vidui on Yom Kippur helps us on both levels. I pray that our talking will give each of us, including myself, a little bit of that opportunity to look within and especially without. And I thank you and wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tov.